when I'm angry. But you know what? I've seen people in real life, I think they were going to turn green on me. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about this second part of anger. Next week, we're going to do fear, because fear and anger go hand in hand on what it does to the body. So we're going to kind of go back and forth, and I'm not going to keep you long. If you do, don't get angry. We'll be all right. Ma'am. Okay, that's cool. Okay. All right, here we go. Anger. Nuts and bolts of anger. Now, the first part of this, the first five are from last week, so I'm just going to read over it, and then we're going to go on into this week's. Verse 5 is from last week, but it's anger is a gift from God. Wow. I said that last week, anger is a gift from God, and I got the craziest looks. Amen. Anger is a gift from God because anger is a motivational gift. It's an emotion. God gave us emotions to enhance our life. So because God gave us emotions to enhance our life, wouldn't it be hard to go through life with no emotions? It'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? Amen? When I think about it, it just drives me crazy when I see guys over in the communist states, and it seems like a lot of those guys are just emotionalists, or like in the Holocaust, you see these people, they just had no emotions, they were numb. Life is already bad, but that with stuff like that going on with no emotions, it makes it worse. Anger is a gift from God to motivate us to action. Anger and fear both have similar effects on our bodies. The positive is it is energy to resolve problems. Is if you see something going on outside that's driving you crazy, if it's driving you crazy, if something's making you angry, more than likely if something's making you angry, if you take the proper perspective, what the anger's there for is to help you to handle the situation Now, negatively, you've handled the situation in a bad way. Positive, you've handled it in a good way. It's like there's not a problem with going out there and standing in front of an abortion clinic because it makes you angry. And say, God is life. But it is something if the anger has you take a gun and shoot the abortion doctor. Okay, there's a big difference. Okay? So now, here we go. Negative. It's like what's going on in Missouri right now. They said if you want to protest, protest in the daytime, because as you protest at night, what you're doing is you're opening the doors for people that actually want to take advantage of this to loot and to rob. And so these guys aren't there to protest what went on with that, but they're there because they want to take advantage of the confusion so they can steal and they can hurt. Now, people are getting hurt. The police are being hurt. Other people are being hurt. There's shots going on. There's all kinds of things going on. And again, if you're angry, positive angry, there's nothing wrong with protesting. They're walking around with their hands up, protesting. That's their right. Okay? But when you go breaking in stores and tearing stuff out and ruining stores and catching them on fire, now it's a negative anger. And God does not get a bit of glory out of that. Not one bit. And it doesn't solve any problems. All it does is complicate the problem. So now, that's a perfect example. And also, once they started showing the tapes of this guy strong-arming himself, the way they had him painted to start with, is like, and I'm not saying good, bad, or ugly what he did. I'm saying is they had it like he was some innocent guy that walked around and was doing good all the time, and you find out he was just got into a store and robbed a store. You know, strong-armed him way through the store. So again, and I'm going to talk about that too right here. I honestly don't know enough about it to get on one side or the other. All I can say is, I can say for surety, it's okay, anger, it's okay to go out there and protest. Okay, if that's how you feel about it, it's okay to protest. That's our right as an American citizen. But going in those stores, busting down the stores, beating people up, beating up other police officers, that is negative. And if it's used improper right here, and allowed to get out of control, it can cause more problems. And that's exactly what it's doing. It's causing more and more problems. Wow. That's crazy. Crazy. No, that's what I'm saying. And also, there's some crazy mess going on. Okay, so now, when it gets out of control, it causes more problems to the situation and to our health. So here's the nuts and bolts of anger. Anger, this is from last week. I'm going to go through it real quick. If you have a question, raise your hand. If you don't, we're just going to keep right on going until we get to this week's. Anger is energy to resolve problems and to bring justice. Positive. Since we are made in the image of God, we must learn to use anger correctly as God does. Nahum 1:3 says, God is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm and in the clouds or the dust of his feet. Number two, the wrong use of anger can be destructive, negative. Proverbs 14:29, people with understanding control their anger, but a hot temper shows great foolishness. Number three, we can control the amount of our anger by our perception of what we see, positive or negative. Again, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Number four, we must refuse to react in a situation, but take time to think it through and respond to it. James 1:19 says, understand this, my beloved brother, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, and slow to take offense and to get angry. Number five, if we cannot resolve the problem, we are to give it and our anger to God. Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay or requite, says the Lord. And that was from last week. Here's part two. Starts here with number six. Here is a hard one. Probably the hardest of all. Sometimes it's best to drop our anger. Wow. You know what it takes? A mature Christian to do this. Because an immature Christian can't necessarily do this. It takes a mature person and a mature Christian to do this. Sometimes it's best to drop our anger. Now, here's the thing. If we do make sure, if we're going to drop it, make sure we aren't stuffing it. What's the difference in dropping it and stuffing it? Right. If I'm going to drop it, I let go. If I'm stuffing it, I'm keeping it inside. And I'm just feeding it. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. So you got to be careful. You remember me telling you about the man up in Alaska that every Saturday he brought a white dog and a black dog to town. And they would fight. And everybody would bet on which one would win. And every time for 10 years, he bet on the dog, whichever one it was, white or black, he would always bet on the dog that won. He always won. And so at the end of his 10 years, when he retired the dogs, he came to town one day and they said, you know, it was so amazing that you always bet on the winning dog. How'd you know which dog was going to win? He said, it was easy, the one I fed all week. So if he fed the black dog all week, it won. If he fed the white dog all week, it won. So you can drop it and not feed it. Or you can feed it and it will tear you up on the inside. If we stuff it, it will erupt at a different and an inappropriate place and time. How many has ever known somebody, and how many can be honest with your own self and say you've done it yourself? Because I'm raising my hands, I've done it myself. You're angry about something else, but somebody does something to you that reminds you of that, or somebody does something similar, or maybe you just already stuffed, and then somebody does something and you erupt. And you actually overreact to the situation. You way overreact to the situation. And the reason is not because of what that person did, it's because of what happened before, and it's stuffed inside of you. And so it's kind of like the last straw. When the last straw's broke, here you go, you just pour it all out, not realize, and it can actually be years. Years. There's a 17-year locust. It stays underground for 17 years, and then it comes out. Is it 17 years? Is that what it is? Is it 7 or 17? 7? Can't keep count of it, 7 or 17. But whatever it is, they're in there for a long time. Then when they come out, they make a whole bunch of noise. Right. I mean, they're all set. Right. Well, you know how many ants there is per person? You know how many ants there is in this world per person in proportion? For every one person on this earth, there's a million ants. That's wild. All those ants, a lot of... and all in your yard. And Myra said they're all in her yard. Well, they're not all in your yard, because you know, Inky and Maddie have figured out, don't stick your nose in those places. Amen. Okay, but still, sometimes your injury may be years old, and you've been so good at keeping it stuffed. You've kept it stuffed so good. And then the right person at the right time has the right trigger, and they are as innocent as a newborn babe. But because you've had it stuffed, whether it be for days, weeks, months, or years, they get to hold it off with interest. All right? So it's important that you don't stuff it. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes a man restrain his anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. That's pretty good, isn't it? A good sense. How many like to have good sense? All right, so it says, good sense makes a man restrain his anger. All right, number 7. We need to resolve our anger issues in a timely manner. Each day we delay, it only compounds the anger until a resolvable issue grows out of control. This, I don't know how they could have handled this in Missouri, except for I think there was some antagonizing going on in more than one way, and I think, and I'm not there, and I'm armchair quarterbacking, because I'm listening to different people from different news agencies talk. But I still believe that there might have been some different ways to handle it from the dead get that would not have been so bringing on the harder stuff. But still, again, if it had been, now you notice it's getting worse and worse and worse because it's not being handled. Actually, remember what I told you so many times, in every situation you go in, you, somebody say me. Every last one of us carry two buckets, a bucket of water and a bucket of gas. Every last one of us. And if the flame's there and you need the flame to go down, you better throw the bucket of water. But if you want the flame to go up, you better throw the bucket of gas. The problem is sometimes we forget. And we come in and we let our hair down, so to speak, and we get in the middle of it. And instead of throwing a bucket of water, we throw a bucket of gas and it gets even higher. Okay, so it's very important to understand. Every last one of us, we have that power. Every last one of us. Not just one, but everybody has that power. So we have to resolve it in a timely manner. And God said, when you're angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun, do not let your wrath, your aspiration, your fury, your indignation last until the sun goes down. That doesn't mean that you cannot be necessarily angry about something and it's not solved. It means you can't be to the point where it's got you, your temper flaring. Because if it's got your temper flaring, or if you haven't got it under control, then what happens is, it says, and open a door to the devil. What happens is, if you go to bed angry, I mean, while you're sleeping, Satan is working. He opens that door bigger and bigger. And by the time you wake up in the morning, you're ready to just whoever it was, you're ready just to, I know what I'm going to do. I'm getting up, I'm going to let them have it. Because you didn't handle it when it was easy to handle, and it gets harder and harder and harder. So, confusion. That's right. That's right. Come to some kind of resolution. Yeah, come to some kind of resolution. Sometimes you cannot solve it, and you cannot settle it. So what do you do when I cannot solve it, and I cannot settle it, and I'm trying to go to bed, and I don't want to open the door for the devil? I cannot solve it, and I cannot settle it. Y'all think about this. You cannot solve it, and you cannot settle it. What can I do to keep opening the door for Satan during the night? That is, you get out God's Word, and you find God's Word that applies to that situation, and you find a promise. And whenever the devil starts throwing that at you because you can't settle it and you can't solve it, what you do is you give that promise. You just keep repeating that promise over and over and over again. That's actually meditating on His Word. You say, well, if you just keep repeating it, that doesn't make sense. That's what meditation is, to talk under your breath continually. So you take the Word of God that you find that applies that situation, and when you can't solve it or settle it by the time you go to bed, at least apply the Word of God, so when something's coming out of your mouth, What it's going to do is it's going to be something positive. Okay? I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen the seen begging bread. Or you know, whatever it is, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. There's been times I went to bed and I said, I know I can't handle this. I can't figure it out. But I know no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And so what you do is, remember, y'all write that down. If you cannot, and I'm going to write it down to you, if you cannot settle it or solve it before sleep, replace it with the word. Replace it with a promise and meditate, because that will actually bring you through this. There's been plenty of time I've had to meditate on God's word because I was waiting for him to solve it, because I couldn't. Could not solve it. So now, I remember, I mean, I just can't sit back and look, I look at so many things that has happened in other people's lives, even in my own life, where I said, Lord, this looks like this is going to consume them. This is going to be the end. This is it. But Lord, I'm not going to give in to that. Instead, I'm going to keep saying your word, confessing your word. And so, many times within hours, here it comes. Here comes the answer. All right, so now, number 8, problems with anger and wrath in our lives can become a stronghold. You know, there's people that have adrenaline addicts. They want to always be doing something dangerous. They want to always be doing something that sound, you know, looks crazy. They're riding a motorcycle, standing up on the seat, you know, or wanting to jump out of trees and try to grab a limb before they hit the ground. You know, just some crazy mess. You know, and you can usually tell a kid that's going to be that way because they're the ones that jump off the house with the umbrellas when they're little. Okay? Now, if they do it one time and they don't do it anymore, they were just trying it out. You ain't got to worry about them. But if they did it and they keep on doing it, watch them. I've got one in my family. Y'all saw him up here Sunday playing. He was always, as long as I can remember, just, I said, boy, you're gonna just drive somebody. Whoever marries you, you're going to drive them crazy because you just keep doing some of the craziest mess. He said, well, Daddy just... Oh, you know, but finally Afghanistan. But I think he's had enough of that right now. So he's, praise God, he's settling down. Praise God. Yeah, but now he's got 2 girls just like him. I got a call Friday. We almost couldn't have praise and worship practice because him and Elaine decided to jump out the porch. She jumped out the porch and landed on her arm, and so they went from the babysitter, and so they had to go check. Said, Dad, she may have broke her arm to get there, and it's not broke. She can do it. And she's laughing. You know, well, you know about, you know, adrenaline addicts. Watch this, though. Anger and wrath can become a stronghold because just like for those thrills that give you that adrenaline, you know the chief thing that flows through you when you're angry is adrenaline. And people get hooked on adrenaline. And how they get hooked, sometimes people just honestly, they might not even realize it. They like the feeling they get when. And so, anger spiritually is a stronghold. Physically, it's an addiction to adrenaline. Spiritually, it's a stronghold, and it winds up being a sin. But you got to be careful. Romans 19:19 says, a man of great wrath shall suffer the penalty. For if you deliver him from the consequences, he will feel free to cause to do it to you again. You got to watch it. Great wrath. Talking about somebody, again, a person that's hooked on it. Have you ever seen somebody that, honestly, they're not happy unless trouble's in their life? Everything's got to be trouble. They can find a dark cloud in every silver lining. I've had people in my own family like that. I've pastored people over the years that they're not satisfied. If everything's going good, they'll find a way to sabotage it because they like that, whatever they're feeling inside when it's going on. So it's very careful. You got to watch this stuff. So now, how do we handle anger? I'm glad you asked. Here's four words. I want you to remember these four words. Four words for handling anger. Number one, perception. Do you know, I've been mad at people before, angry. I'd rather say angry than mad, because mad insinuates that I've lost control. Anger doesn't mean I've lost control. Mad, think about a mad dog, a mad bull, a mad scientist, yeah. Yeah, it's like there's two guys are in the field, and one of them made the bull mad, and the bull's coming at them, and there's nothing they can do. They're both getting ready to tow the whipping from that bull. And one guy looks at the other and says, "You better do something." He says, "I don't know what to do." He says, "Pray." He said, "I don't know what to pray." He said, "I do." He said, "Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us eternally grateful." I'm getting ready to tow the whipping. Amen. Okay. Anger is energy to resolve a problem. Remember this, if nothing else. Remember this. Anger is a God-given emotion. It's energy to resolve a problem. It's an emotion. Energy to resolve a problem. But here it is. It's a secondary emotion. There's a primary emotion. There's secondary emotions. This is a secondary emotion. It is controlled by how we choose to look at a situation. I've been upset with people before. I mean, really upset. And when I find out why they did it, I'm not upset anymore. How many's ever done that? You're upset because somebody, I don't know, they painted over something, or somebody did something, and you get upset. Then you find out, "What are you doing?" And they go, "Well, you told me. You know, I was trying to help. I was doing it." And you think, "Wait a minute. Okay, I see now. Okay." So have you ever been angry till you figured out what was going on? And your anger calm down? Yeah. It calmed down. Once you realize what's going on, it helps you calm down. Now, perception, how you see it. You heard about the dog named August, who was always trying to chase a mule named Conclusion. One day he jumped at Conclusion and bit him, and Conclusion kicked back at August, and that was the last day of August. How you see things. That's why you got to stop. You got to stop and take time. Stop and take time. When you feel yourself getting angry, stop and take time. Try to ask God to help you understand what's going on. And remember this too. We judge our actions by our motives, but we judge other people's actions by the actual emotion. We don't give them the benefit of what's causing it. We just don't jump at them. And we can sometimes, we're trying to help people and we hurt them. Have you ever tried to help somebody and hurt them? I have. I've tried to help somebody and hurt them, and I felt so bad. Linda's favorite thing to tell me is, "Quit helping me." Last night I went to go help her, and when I went to go help her, I actually thought I was going to reach down and help her, and instead I did a WWE body slam on her. I hit her, knocked her over, and she said, "Quit." I said, "I'm so sorry. I was trying to help." She said, "Quit helping me." Sister Dorothy, a couple Tuesday nights ago, I was trying to help her out the door. I still don't know exactly what happened, but I can tell you what. All I could hear after it was over with was, "Quit helping me." Okay. So, and there's been times where somebody might try to help you and they perceive one thing. It's kind of like the guy, and there's actually something else going on, like the guy is walking down the street and he sees a guy in the door with a refrigerator on a cart. So he throws his stuff down and says, "Hold on, I'll help." And so he jumps up and he starts pushing and he pushes and he pushes with all his might. He's pushing, he's working up a sweat, and he says, "We're getting nowhere." And the guy says, "I know." He said, "I've tried everything I can to get it in." He said, "Well, no wonder, I'm trying to get it out." Perception. How you see something. The guy's trying to get the refrigerator out, he's still pushing it back in. Uh-huh. Yes. That's right. Yes. You might make it. Exactly. You know, one of the worst things I've done, one of the things that taught me about this over everything I can think of is the time where I come in and see a situation and see the boys fighting or see something going on, and I pick up one youngin and pop him around the tail and find out he was the innocent one. While the other one's semi-going. And so I'm feeling bad because I've already whooped. Or just sometimes they just go ahead and whip them all. Yeah, I'm just going to get all of you. But Dad, I didn't do it. You'll need it sooner or later, so come on. But that hurt my feelings because I spanked the wrong child. Because I didn't stop and ask. I assumed that Daniel started it, so I jumped Daniel and found out DC had started it. And I remember one time in school, Bethany was riding on the bus. And she kept telling me, Dad, the guys, this is before she had her operation and her face was really, you know how her face was, she had that big, big bottom jaw. And people would pick on her all the time. And I actually went to school one day and I went to pick her up from school and I heard out of my own ears. One of the guys, they were hollering at Bethany. There was two guys hollering at Bethany. I drove up, they didn't know it was Bethany's dad. And I heard one of them say, "We know why your mama killed herself. She didn't kill herself, she died. But so we know why your mama killed herself, because she didn't want to look at your ugly face." I went right on into the principal's office and I said, "Enough's enough. Do something." And so he did something. He told me he couldn't tell me why he done, but he done something. But I remember Bethany's riding the bus. She says, "Daddy, there's some guys behind me. They keep picking on me. And they do it in such a way that the camera or whatever's going on, nobody knows, that they keep thinking it's me," and she keeps calling me down. She says, "I'm trying to tell them, quit hitting me." And she keeps calling me down. So Bethany got suspended. I forget how it goes, one day the first time, 3 days the second time. Then they took her out for 5 days, said next time she's off the bus for good. And so I went and I talked to the principal. And I said, "Can we look at the tapes? Show me the tapes. I want to see them. Because I know what my daughter's telling me, and I know she's not lying to me. Because we got proof of like those youngins that we're talking." And he said, "Out of all the time, every time that it happened," he said, "out of all those times," he said, "the tape wasn't funny." And so I said, "Well, let me just tell you a little story." And he said, "Okay, Mr. Linton, tell me your little story." I said, "Well, when I was in school, there was a girl that went to school with us that only had one arm. Her other arm was a hook." And I said, "She wasn't the most attractive of girls back then. I don't know how she looks now, but back then she wasn't the most attractive of girls. And guys used to pick on her, and they would constantly pick on her when the teacher's back was turned so that she would get in trouble." And I said, "I watched her get in trouble more than one time, guys pushing and shoving and then backing up like they're innocent." I said, "Now, my daughter didn't know that story. My daughter's telling me the same story." I said, "So I think you ought to at least check it out a little further before you talk about getting her off the bus." And so we went and checked it out. The whole story changed. And she was put back on the bus and everything was fine. But again, perception. Perception. You know, so you got to understand, we have to ask God to help us with perception. We can get ourselves in so much trouble by not perceiving not proper perception of what's going on. So first, perception. Number two, realize. First, you got to have perception. God, help me to understand the situation. And you better ask more than one person. Because if you ask somebody on this side, they're going to tell it one way, and the person on this side is going to tell it another. So you better get both sides of the story so you can ask God to help you understand what's going on. Because usually there's a little bit of truth in both of them. So you got to watch and listen. Number two, realize. We must realize when we're angry. How many here know when you're angry? Can't you tell it? I mean, I can tell it because I've heard Linda go, "Boy, your face is red." And you know, I tell her, I felt it. I felt it go red. You know, I was laughing. Last night, we went to Mosseline. We were ministering to some people. And I was joking with the guy. And he come to the table, and I reckon I joked a little bit too hard because he had black beans in one bowl and rice in the other. He went to hand me the black beans. I started cutting up with him. While I'm cutting up with him, he takes the bowl of rice and turns it over and falls right to the floor. Never seen that happen before. So Linda starts laughing. Everybody starts laughing, you know. And then we start talking about that gives a whole new meaning to dirty rice. You know, and again, I don't know what he was doing, and I was wondering, was I cutting up? But I got laughing so hard that the guy said, "You, it must really got to you because you were red, red, red." And I said, "I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it." So you know when you get angry, and a lot of times when you get angry, your brain goes in park, and your emotions go in high gear. And when that happens, we say things, we do things that we shouldn't be doing, shouldn't say, and later on we come back and say, "You know, I'm so sorry. If I really thought about it, I'd have said it different, or I wouldn't have said it at all." But again, once that face gets red, and the adrenaline starts flowing, it happens in all of us. Once that adrenaline starts flowing, when that adrenaline starts flowing, it automatically kicks the brain in park. Remember, adrenaline kicks the brain in park. So once the adrenaline gets flowing, the brain goes in park. When the brain goes in park, the emotions go crazy. When emotions go crazy, the mouth opens up and says things and does. You do things you wish you had never done later. But at that moment, that's why we've got to realize we're getting angry. Pay attention to the physical and emotional signals. Ephesians 4:26 again says, "In your anger, do not sin." First time we talked about it was, "Don't let the sin go down upon, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath." But we're going to focus here. In your anger, do not sin. It is not a sin to be angry. Amen. It's not a sin to be angry. The challenge is don't get angry, but not to sin when you're angry. Again, remember this. Just please remember this. When your adrenaline, when that heart gets pumping and your adrenaline glands, all this stuff gets going, your glands get moving, and the adrenaline goes and just shoots up to your brain, remember, adrenaline equals brain in park. Please remember that. Brain in park. When brain's in park, it's like this. Look at a seesaw. This is analytical thinking. There's the seesaw. I'm thinking good. I'm thinking. I'm not thinking. I'm thinking. Logically, I'm not thinking. Here is your emotions. Emotions. My emotions are in control. My emotions are low. Here's what happens in every last one of us. When we go into a problem, it must be like this. We must be able to think. Okay? Here's logic. This is the sense of us. It needs to be here and our emotions need to be there. The problem is that when adrenaline starts flowing, and there's the emotions. We say things, do things. If somebody says, "Well, I've never seen them act like that before." You know why? Because up till then, they could keep it like this. But as soon as it does this, now the emotions are taking over. Logic is out the window. And the problem in a lot of marriages, when they're fighting, and that's why you need a third party in the middle of a fight. Because what happens is, as things begin to escalate, maybe one party is like this, and one party is like this. They are not communicating. Then, before long, both parties like this, and then there's absolutely no communication, none. So it's important when spouses or children, when you're talking to them, that everybody's here. But just as soon as one starts going up, the best thing to do is, what we get ready to talk about, is if you can't drop the anger, at least take a break from it. Because if you don't, when they both go up like this, Lord help you. Okay, it's going to get bad. It's going to get nasty. So here we go. Control. We need to get control before it does. Don't take the offense personally. Will Rogers said, "When you fly into a rage, you seldom make a safe landing." Amen. When you fly into a rage, think about it. I've yet to see anybody fly into a rage that made that safe landing. Except for one person. That was Chuck Norris, of course. I was watching the other day. He actually fell out of a helicopter. He was fighting somebody in a helicopter. he fell like 30 foot out of a helicopter, and all he did was get a concussion. I mean, you know, but when you tough like Chuck Norris, but I'm not Chuck Norris. So, and you watch happens. Watch. Usually, now when you get angry and you start feeling the emotions and you start feeling your face get flushed and you start feeling, you all of a sudden now your heartbeat speeds up and you start breathing heavy. And here it goes. There's the logic. There's the emotion. Watch. As it starts beating harder and you start thinking about it and Satan starts throwing stuff to you, here it goes. There's the emotions. And emotions, the Bible says the heart is deceitful. Your emotions play crazy tricks on you. So there you are. I was all right with what I did. Not necessary. So remember, trying to keep them down here. We need to control it before it controls us. Don't take offense, because sometimes that person is not necessarily mad at you. It's like a guy came into work one day, and we come into work, the boss man, he came into work, and when he came into work, he got a ticket on the way to work. He couldn't afford another ticket. They're going to take his license. So he comes in, he's mad. A guy comes in that's not doing so good in the sales department, but he knows if a little bit of help, he'll be doing better, just a little bit of time. The guy comes in, and he fusses at him, lays him out, and threatens to fire him. Wouldn't have done it if it hadn't been for that ticket. So then he comes in, and he goes into his department where the guys are at, and he tells them all, you know what, this may be the last week y'all work here, because I'm tired of me trying to cover for all y'all guys. But you wouldn't normally sound like that, but the guy started with the ticket. Now this guy, he's fussing all five guys. These all five guys, they get fussing each other the rest of the day. And so finally, the gentlest of all goes home, and he sees his son has left a bicycle on the sidewalk. And so he fusses at him like you would not believe. And so the youngin' goes, because daddy's hurt his feelings, and he kicks the cat. Because the cat's in the way, and he kicks him out of the way. Now, all of that happened, the whole series of events happened because of that ticket. The highway patrolman, there you go. That's right, blame it on the law. That's right. You know, like you're sitting here in line, and they know that lane's closed. People know that lane's closed. They saw it, lane closed, 50 foot ahead, and they ride it anyway. And they want you to stop and let them in. And don't you want to go, I ain't going to do it. Okay, it was a car fight. Must have been a Ford. All right. So, but still, you know, you're sitting here and the people pulls up and they want you to let them in. And, you know, I really tried. I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm making my mind up. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm in Greenville. That's going on. And I said, I'm not letting them in. I'm not letting them in. I'm not letting them in. And I'm not even going to look at them like I don't even see them. And finally I peeped and it was a patrolman. You go ahead, son. What have you got to do? If I need to get out and help you, go on up there. Amen. Okay. So now, so again, get control. If you don't get control of it, watch, remember this, logic, emotions. This means good, this is bad. You want your logical thinking up here, not your emotions. If you let it get control of you, all of a sudden your logic's gone and it's all emotions, and you say things and do things you will regret sometimes for the rest of your life. So, ask some people in prison right now that are in there because they got mad and did something stupid. Yeah, that's right. They're human beings. They're working. That's right. Exactly. We don't know. We have no idea. And so, and I talk to guys in prison all the time, say, you know, if I had to do it over again, I would have thought about it. I would have really thought about it, but now I'm serving 6 years. I'm serving 15 years. I'm serving 20 years. All because I weren't thinking. Remember, emotions up here, you're not thinking. Emotions are not good thinkers. Your brain's meant for thinking. Your emotions are meant to enhance. All right. Number six, four, and I'm closing. Correct. Use this energy in a positive way and refuse to use it in a negative. again, Proverbs 18:13. Watch Proverbs 18:13 here. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. See, the Bible's full of the answers to all this. You got something going on, and without even thinking, you go ahead and jump to conclusions, and you go ahead and assume, and pretty soon you're riding the wrong wagon, and wow, you're going, man, how can I get off this train? Because I sure got on the crazy train. Amen. Because I didn't try to perceive. I just saw it, and I jumped to conclusions, and I thought what I saw was what I saw. And remember me telling y'all that I'll keep it real brief. Some of y'all have already heard the story, but I was at a little league game, and I was behind right field. That's where they had the bleachers at. So I'm behind right field, and on Daniel's team, there was one black boy, just one. Right, sometime about middle way of the game, it looked like the coach picked him up, slammed him down, and beat him, and kept beating him. And people beside me were hollering because I had my camcorder. Said, "Please zoom in on that." And so I zoomed in on it, and that's what it looked like. He was beating that boy. And people behind me were hollering, "Rodney King, Rodney King, Rodney King!" And everybody was ready to crucify him. The coach. Well, of course, we went to see what was going on. What happened was somebody from the other team made a racial slur to that young man, and he was getting ready to go over and fight. And the coach actually stopped him, pulled him back, and set him down, and the boy was fighting the coach. And the coach weren't swinging. The coach was trying to hold his arms down. Once they found out what he was doing, they weren't hollering Rodney King. They were going, "Thank you, coach. Thank you so much." But from where we were looking, it looked like the coach was beating him. That's what it looked like. But he was protecting that guy and protecting him from some great big old thing going on between all the teams fighting, because the coach had enough sense to hold him back before he ran out and hold him and said, "Calm down." He wasn't hollering at him. He was saying, "Calm down, son. Calm down, son." We couldn't hear because we were behind right field, the fence, way on back. So we couldn't hear what he was saying. And when I asked DC and Daniel what was going on, they said, Daddy, the coach kept that boy and a lot of other people from getting in a lot of trouble tonight. Said he was saying, "Calm down, son. Calm down, son. Calm down." I said, "It looked like he was beating him." He said, "Daddy, he wasn't beating him." Everybody in that dugout knew what was going on. That's why nobody in the dugout got up and started fighting or anything, because they knew what was going on. We didn't, because we were about as far away from it. You could be as far away from it. Behind right field fence, watching what's going on by third base in that dugout. So again, don't be so quick to fly off the handle until you actually, like Jack Webb says, just the facts, man. Just the facts. You know, you give me the facts. When I'm counseling people, here's what I find out. When I'm counseling somebody that's in distress, they start telling me what went on. And it can be, when they start telling what went on, I think it all happened last night. And I find out what they're talking about spread out over 3 or 4 years. But the way they said it, it sounded like it happened all last night. And it didn't. So I have to stop and say, "Well, Tim, I have to keep going until I can pick it out and go, oh, you mean that didn't happen last night? That happened 6 months ago." "Yeah, that's right." Well, okay, then what you're saying that brought you in here today happened yesterday, last night." "No, that didn't either. That happened 2 weeks ago." But see, when people remember, they stop thinking, and everything gets all bottled up and all congested. Stop, look, listen, think, so you won't be here wondering what happened and somebody looking at you going, "That doesn't sound like them." Count to three. Sometimes, who was it? What was it? It was one of the famous baseball player. Said, "When you're mad, count to 10. When you're really mad, cuss." some famous baseball player, what he was saying is, don't fly off the handle. Chill. Because usually what you think is a bad thing and what's causing all this problem is not anywhere near what you think it is. And if somebody just come in and be a little calm, then they can come in. A peacemaker can keep it calm. If God's give you that anointing to be a peacemaker, you can come in, you can defuse the bomb. Our job is to defuse it, not light the fuse, but to defuse it. All right? And God will bless you for it. Because God said, blessed are the peacemakers. Okay, let's pray. Next week we'll talk about fear. And fear has the same kind of reactions on the body as anger, but still it's a different thing. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us to figure things out on our own. You haven't left us, Lord, to have to work it out on our own. You told us to come to you with the smallest of things. And Lord, if we can remember to come with you with the smallest of things, many times you can help us handle it before it becomes a big thing. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint. Help us, God, to keep our cool, to stop, look, and listen. If we have to stop, drop, and roll, whatever, just give it a few seconds so we can see. We can ask, we can hear, we can ask somebody else what's going on. Lord, I know that if we do this, it'll make a difference in our lives. And we can be peacemakers. And if we're peacemakers, wow. What we talked about it in the Beatitudes, a peacemaker. Wow, what was the cross? The cross was a peacemaker. God, it brought peace on Calvary. Help us, Lord, to be those peacemakers. To not let our emotions on that teeter-totter steal our thought patterns. But God, let us think. Let us think. Let us think. Let us think. And we know, God, that you can help us do this. We trust you. 100%. We trust you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're an awesome, awesome, awesome God. And you can help us in so many ways, and we thank you for it. Amen. Remember this too. You might say, well, how come some things, I can see the same problem happening in certain ways, and still my thoughts, my ability to reason is up here, my emotions are down here. But I see it with other people, my emotions come up here. It's like this. Depends on how much you've got invested in it, and also how emotionally charged you are about that. Because remember I told you about last week, a fountain? I was like that most of the time, not all the time, most of the time. But that day that guy picked on my son, and somebody said, David, we've never seen you act like that.